We are so honored to have missionaries come by to explain to us about the revival that's taking place on the planet Earth. This year, I think before Mother Nichols came, we've already had six missionary families to come. We're just so very, very thrilled that we're able to support in our PIM program, that's Partners in Missions, home missions along with foreign missions, close to 100. Recently, just looking at our missions account, going through our missionaries, I decided that we would raise Brother and Sister Nichols' support from $75 a month to $90 a month. But we would like, if possible, to raise it even more. So when we take an offering for them, which will be here in just a few minutes, if you feel a directive to give to the Nichols, just put it on a piece of paper or something, put it in the offering plate, and we'll add to the $90. Would be great to have up to, well, 100 or better. I remember the first time that I heard Brother and Sister Nichols' minister was at our district conference, and they were, I think, AIM workers at the time. And he'd been the administrator and the principal of the Christian school at Pentecostal Assembly in Eau Claire. And I'm not even for sure if he had license then, but he had a desire to go to Belarus, which was part of the Soviet Union. They went there, did a terrific work. And every year they'd come back to our camp and we'd raise funds for them. Since that time, they have relocated to Poland, and he's become a full career missionary. They have just done an outstanding work. Sister Liana O'Neill is there working with them, or in the country. They had to come home to do their traveling, raise their deputational do their deputational work to raise funds to go back. So we just count it an honor to have this couple with us. So we'd like for you to give them a warm Madison welcome as Brother Nichols comes. Brother Nichols, would you come? Hey, sure love you. God just take you. This.
Thank
now,
you,
that
sir.
Is fresh water, and that's come out of
okay, brother. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I am so thankful for Brother and Sister Grant. They're so kind to us, and I just love them. I remember going to Wisconsin camp before we were missionaries, and Brother Grant would preach or teach, and I could just sit and listen all day long to his teaching and preaching. He has such wisdom, and you're blessed to have them here as your pastor. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be in the house of God. You know, we're pioneer missionaries. In every country we go to, we open up a work there. We, in 1992, we went to Belarus, and we opened up the work in Belarus. And then later on, we went to Poland, opened up the work in Poland. And we also are now in Ukraine, and we've opened a work in Ukraine. And we're also traveling throughout the former Soviet Union, going as far as Kyrgyzstan, near about 100 miles from the border with China. And God has really just broadened our ministry greatly. And I'm thankful for what the Lord is doing. If you ever hear that people don't want to hear about God, it's not true. It is not true. Amen. There are hungry people all over the world, including this city, where every night they go to bed and they think there's got to be something more to this world than what I know. Amen. And God is sending us to those people. You know, the Bible says, the Word of God says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. That's a principle of God. God does not want us to waste our time because we live in such a day that people need to hear the message of the Lord. And God is not a hypocrite. if God does not want us to waste our time, He will not waste our time either. So if He sends us to a place, if He puts us in a city, and He gives us the commandment to go and teach, then that means there's people in that city, there's people in that place that want to and need to hear the Word of God, and they're hungry and they're desiring to know the truth. And saints of God, we have the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we need to be busy about our Father's business. We're missionaries overseas, but every one of you sitting here in the pew today, you are missionaries where you live. You're missionaries at your work. You're missionaries in the store. You're missionaries in the gas station. You're missionaries in the schools. Wherever you are, people are reading your life. Amen. And we need to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's such an honor to be here. And I'd like my wife to come up and say what's on her heart and mind. And I'm so thankful, again, to be with Brother and Sister Grant. We just love them so much, and we appreciate them so much. And it's good to see some old friends here. Kerry Millen, he's around here somewhere. We've known Kerry since he was a kid. And we got a lot of stories, so if you want to hear them, you can see us later. And then also Phil Demas, who we've known since he was a kid. So, and now they're older, which means we're a lot older. But praise the Lord. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. It's so good to be with you in church this morning. As my husband was saying, we're pioneering missionaries. So what that means for us is that we're continually starting new churches. So we don't get to have corporate worship on the scale you all are having it on a regular basis. So it's a real privilege and a joy for us to join with you in worshiping the King this morning, feeling His precious presence. I have a scripture for you found in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." And I want to thank you today for giving to the work of the ministry for souls in Eastern Europe. It means a great deal to us that you would give of your finances, of your resources, to send us so that we have the privilege of sharing the truth with those that don't know Him yet, those that are hungering to know and feel what you feel here today. And so I want to thank you for giving to missions. And I also would like to thank you for sending Liana O'Neill. She is a young lady that we have had the privilege of knowing just maybe 3 months before we left for deputation. And she is a sweetheart. She is willing to do anything and everything. She does it with a smile. She sings in every service for us. She is busy trying to reach people and meet people wherever she can, bring them in. She has friends that she has made there, and she's beginning to lay a foundation with them so that they can come to know Him. So thank you for allowing her to come and be a part of the work there. And I feel like we hit pay dirt, y'all. I feel like we hit pay dirt because not only do we have the fellowship with you all today, but also we've had the fellowship with the Browns, who have opened their home to us and allowed us to spend their this week in their home. It's been such a joy and such a blessing. And we thank Brother and Sister Brown for letting us stay with them this week. God bless you. It's good to be with you, and we look forward to more presence of the Lord today. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. I want to say something about Brother and Sister Brown as well. We have been so blessed to be with them. You know, I don't know, those of you that go on a vacation, I would not go to some fancy resort or anything like that. I would just go over to the Browns and just ask them if you could hold up there for a week or two, and you'll be so blessed and so relaxed. Don't waste your money on those resorts. Just go to the Browns. So that's a little advertisement for you, sister. Praise the Lord. But they are great host and hostesses. They're just wonderful people. I thank God for them. And they also allowed their daughter to come to Belarus back in 1997 for 6 months. And we're so glad to have Nicole Brown with us during that time. And thank you so much. I just feel so so overwhelmed by the goodness and the precious presence of God here today. I have felt the Holy Ghost in this place since I walked through those doors. And I'll tell you something about your music. You have great music. But let me tell you something more than that. You have anointed music. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I love when I walk into a church and there's a worshipful spirit and people are loving God and worshiping God. You know, that music is to bring us to a place where we can talk to God and God can talk to us. And certainly that is happening in this sanctuary. So I thank God for the music and the choruses that were sung today and for the presence of the Lord. And, you know, I want to tell you just a little bit about our work quickly, and I know I have a few minutes for that, and then I'll come back later and preach, but I want to thank Brother and Sister Grant and thank this church because you have been with us since day one. When we were principal of a Christian school in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, for 10 years we had prayed for the lost souls of the Soviet Union. We had never been there, and we just prayed that God would save them. Day after day after day, we prayed for them. And then in a Sunday evening service, I prayed that, God, I said, if you will ever allow it, I promise you I'll go to the Soviet Union. At that time, it was impossible because we were enemies, and there was the Cold War. But shortly thereafter, the wall fell, and we were invited to go to start Christian schools in that nation. I was not a licensed preacher, Brother Grant. I was a school teacher. I have a degree in marketing education and another degree in computer science, not spiritual subjects. Praise the Lord. But God sent us, and we went to a country we couldn't even speak the language. I remember looking out our window and saying, God, you sent us here. We don't even know how to say hi or goodbye. And yet you've called us to reach this nation. That was in 1992. Brother Grant and this church supported us with support as aimers from the very first time we went over. We didn't know anybody. God made a way where there was no way. We saw miracle after miracle, and God began to open doors. And I'm happy to report at that time, God made a way for us to teach at 4 universities. I taught marketing based on biblical principles, something I couldn't do in America, but I could do over there. And from my marketing class, my first convert came. We baptized him in Jesus' name. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. His name is Pasha Rogic. He married another girl from our church, Ina, and today they are over the work in Belarus. Belarus today has 43 churches. Every single one of them is pastored by a Belarusian. No American pastors any of those churches. All the work is done by the nationals. I thank God for that. Praise the Lord. In the year 2002, we went to Poland. We didn't know anybody in Poland. We are starting all over again. Poland's the size of the state of New Mexico. Population, 40 million people. 98% Roman Catholic. Before my wife and I were saved at the age of 26, we were Roman Catholic. And then we became Roman Catholics. And we happened to roam into a Pentecostal church in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And I thought, how strange of a place this is. People are shouting and dancing and singing and running and just a hooting and a hollering. I thought, they're crazy. But the presence of the Lord was in that place, and God began to deal with our hearts because we had a hunger. From an early childhood, we had a hunger to know him. And God answered our prayers that day, and we were filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And we've never been the same since. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then we went to Poland, and the Lord allowed us to open up 6 churches in Poland across the country. Last deputation, we were averaging about 1,000 miles per week to minister to those churches. Unfortunately, we were gone for 2 years last deputation, and a lot of those churches dwindled down almost to nothing. But God is good, and God is a God that if you go and you put your trust in Him, He will bless you above what you're able to even ask or think. And we are rebuilding the churches in Poland. We now have another missionary couple that's helping us with the work there. Liana O'Neill is there doing a great job. And God is rebuilding in the country of Poland. And we are at the beginning of revival again in that nation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 2010, we began to go into Ukraine. Ukraine is the largest country in Europe, population 50 million people. We began to do a work with our regional missionary, a pastor from Belarus, and we began to preach the word there. And make a long story short, in northwest Ukraine alone today, there are 22 churches and preaching points in that nation, and God is just sending revival to the country of Ukraine. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God for that. We also have works in Kyiv and Dnipropetrovsk and Odessa and many other places around Ukraine. God is just, it's just exploding in that area. In February of 2012, I made my first trip to Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan. Kyrgyzstan is a country close to Afghanistan. There's Tajikistan, Uzbekistan. It borders with China. It's a country that is a Muslim country. There's heavy Al-Qaeda influence there. But even in the midst of that, we were able to see a great work. We started 14 Bible schools there. We had a gathering of pastors that didn't know the truth. And today, we baptized 9 pastors in Jesus' name. 6 of them received the Holy Ghost evidence with speaking in other tongues. And there's about 10 churches now in the country of Kyrgyzstan. Praise the Lord. I thank God for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've also had an influence Ukraine in Georgia, not the state of Georgia, but the country of Georgia, and in Russia. And just this year alone, we opened 10 brand new Bible schools in those nations. And God is just opening up for us campus ministries. We are in charge of campus ministries for Europe and the Middle East. And it's our responsibility to try to open campus ministries in 72 nations. And the latest one that we opened was in the country of Malta. Malta is between Italy and Africa in the Mediterranean Sea. It's only 8 miles by 16 miles wide. We went to that country, and they allowed us to use the Catholic Church on a university campus. And we began to preach and teach, and there is a campus ministry in that nation today on that island. I thank God for that. Praise the Lord. God is opening doors, saints of God. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things that you know not. That tells me that God knows more than we do. Amen. I know that we believe that and we say that, but sometimes we don't act like that. And I know that whatsoever I ask in faith, believing, God will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. And our God cannot be stopped. I love the tongues and interpretation here today. God has all the power. God can do it. Not man, not the armies of this world, not the nations of this world, but our God. Our God is an awesome God, and our God can do anything. Praise the Lord. And God is working all over Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Oh, hallelujah. We'd like for the ushers to come. I don't know. I'm just running over this morning. I feel so full, so excited about what God is doing. Brother Nichols, every time he starts talking, he could talk all day long about things that have happened. We need to get a good offering here, and hopefully in all of the churches that he ministers in, so they can get back. And you just love people like them, but you understand the value of them being where God has called them. So I'm asking you to contribute a good offering for Brother and Sister Nichols. Would you bow your heads with me as I pray? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to come to hear all of these wonderful revival stories. And I pray, God, your blessings, Lord, upon the remaining part of this service, and especially, Lord, upon Brother and Sister Nichols. And I'm asking, God, that you do bless the works that they're in charge of, and send great revival, Lord Jesus, to Europe and to Asia. I'm believing, God, that your Holy Spirit is moving in a remarkable way. God, touch us, Lord Jesus, with a great burden so that we can pray more and fast more and give more and see more done throughout this world. Thank you, God, for our contributors today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you as you give.
Hallelujah. Presence of the Lord is so strong in this place. You know, sometimes, especially when you're starting a work in these nations and we have little groups scattered here and there, and you always wonder who's going to show up. You know, will this one come? You just witness to this one. Will they come? And this one is struggling. Will they continue to come? And sometimes you wonder who may or may not be there. And one thing I never worry about is the Lord. The Lord always comes. He always shows up. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful for his faithfulness and for his goodness. You know, one thing I learned is God's blessings don't depend upon how good I am, but rather how good he is. The thing that I can never overcome is that the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Sometimes I haven't always lived the way I knew I should have lived. And we call them mistakes sometimes, it's just disobedience, not mistakes. And yet I can get on my knees at times and cry out to God. And I'm so glad that I have a high priest and I have an advocate with the Father. I'm so thankful the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whenever I see an altar area in a church, we don't always have an altar area like this. We're in hotel rooms. We're in homes and many other places. But whenever I see an altar like this, in my spiritual eyes, I see written along here, mercy, 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 mercy. And God offers his mercy to anyone here that wants it. The Bible says, whosoever will may come. That's not just some trite statement. That is the eternal word of God. And God will always perform what he says he will do. You know, it's easy for us when we read the scriptures, for God so loved the world. It's so easy for us to believe that God loves the world. And we can get all excited about that and we can worship God and thank God for that. But what's harder for us many times is when we try to say, and look in the mirror and say, for God so loved me. It's easy to realize God so loved the world, but it's much more difficult to realize that God loves me. Hallelujah. And I can tell you story after story after story of miracles, all kinds of miracles, and I'm sure if I would recite them today, that you would get excited, you would praise the Lord, you would clap your hands, and you would thank God with all of your heart. Because we love to hear the stories of miracles, because that's what our great God does, and it builds up our faith. But it's really hard for us to realize that I'm in need today, or I'm sick today. I need salvation today. I need healing today. It's hard for us to believe that God would answer my prayer, that God would save me, that God would heal me, because we think I am so unworthy. Let me tell you something. We are unworthy. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. The Bible tells us there's no one who's righteous. I don't care if you've been saved for 100 years. In and of yourself, you are not righteous. You are not good. Praise the Lord. And God does not minister to us because of our goodness, but because of His mercy and His faithfulness and His word. Hallelujah, that went forth. And God will not. He is not a liar. And He will do what He wants to do. And I'm here today with you, and with all my heart, I want to minister to the people that are here gathered today in Jesus' name. I know you have a wonderful pastor, a wonderful teacher, and you have a wonderful church. And I just want to share some of the Word of God with you today. And I want you to open up your heart, every one of you. I wish sometimes that I could have a stack of mirrors and pass them out to everybody in the pew. And then I'd have you look at it and say, I want you to remember who I'm talking to so that you can look at yourself and know that you need the Word of God. Sometimes we hear a message and we think, oh, that's for Sister So-and-so. She really needs that. Or we think that's for Brother So-and-so. He really needs that. But saints of God, whenever the Word is preached, it's for us. It's for every one of us. And we all need it today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I want to do my best to share the Word of God with you. I believe. I am not a theologian. There are many people that know and can articulate about the Word of God more than me. But I'll tell you one thing, I am a believer. I am a believer. What the Word says, I believe it. Even some of the words I don't understand, I believe it. Amen. Amen. And the longer I live for God, the more He reveals to me, more and more and more. If you have some doubt lingering in your mind or heart today, you just put it on a shelf. And I'll guarantee you, there will come a day when God will show you beyond a shadow of a doubt. And He will answer your questions. At the age of 26, my wife and I came into church and we knew nothing about the Bible. And I had some doubts and I had some apprehensions, but I was able to put it on the shelf of my heart and my mind. And God opened up the truth to me and God answered all my doubts, all my questions. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what you do if you're here today. You act on what you know. Amen. Don't worry about what you don't know. Amen. If God's moving on your heart today to be baptized, be baptized. God moving on your heart today, receive the Holy Ghost, receive the Holy Ghost. If you need to repent today, repent. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you don't know. Just act upon what you do know. Step by step, day by day, He will lead you. Hallelujah. A lot of people want to know about the specific will of God for their life when they haven't even done the general will of God for their life. God will never show you the specific will for your life until you act upon the general will of your life, and that is to be saved, be baptized in His name, be filled with His Spirit, and live for God in holiness. Hallelujah. And He will show you the rest, and He will show you the specific will. Praise the Lord. Oh, I feel something in this place today. God's going to have His way in this place today. Amen. But you have to have faith. You have to have faith. Faith isn't just saying, I believe. Faith is always action. Somebody had the faith today to go over to those light switches and turn them on. Amen. How silly would it be if we just turned those switches and nothing happened? But we have faith that if we go over and hit that switch, the light will come on. I came over a couple bridges to get here. I had faith today that the bridges would hold me up. If I didn't, I wouldn't have done it. See, faith always demands action. And faith just said is not faith at all. Amen. So if you have faith today, you respond to the word of God. You know, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter got done preaching, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Not how shall we think, what shall we do? They realized that they had to respond to the word of God. How can you look at the cross of Calvary? How can you look at that and say that's well and good and that really moves my heart? How can you look at that and have no response? It's impossible. There's got to be a response. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 3, and I won't take much longer. I want God to really do something in our lives. I believe somebody will receive the Holy Ghost today. I believe somebody will be healed today. I believe somebody will come to salvation today. I believe somebody will return back to God today. I really believe that. I've been praying for these services. Praise the Lord. Amen. Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked of alms and alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, lots of times when we read the scriptures, we just read it like flat, like on the page, you know, just print. But we don't realize that these are real people. And this is a real story and a real situation. And we have to remember what was said in this scripture. You know, Peter and John had a habit. Their habit was going to the temple to pray at the ninth hour. They did that, the Bible says, daily. They went daily to the temple to pray. Now, if Peter and John had a calendar or an iPhone, they would have on their calendar or their iPhone, Monday, go to the temple at the ninth hour to pray. Tuesday, ninth hour, temple, prayer. Wednesday, ninth hour, temple, prayer. Every day, they had that scheduled to be at the temple at the ninth hour to pray. Now, they weren't the only one with the schedule. Also, the Bible says that there was a lame man who somebody took him to a spot near the temple every day before the ninth hour. And so if that lame man had a schedule, it would have been Monday, be carried to the temple prior to the ninth hour and beg. Amen. Tuesday, temple, beg. Wednesday, temple, beg. Day in and day out. That was their habit. That was their schedule. Hallelujah. And that lame man expected to receive something so that he could eat and he could have sustenance so he could live. Now, all over Eastern Europe, we see that a lot. People asking for money because they need money. And it's not uncommon for them to be by churches because people know that when people come out of church, God has probably spoken to them somehow. And they'll probably be a little bit more generous than they would have been prior. Amen. So this man was wise because he stood out before the temple or sat out there begging an alms. Now, can you imagine this day? Here comes Peter and John, and this lame man sees him. And, you know, a lot of people, when they see somebody on the street begging, it's kind of like this. You know, they just kind of want to ignore them. But Peter said to that lame man, he said, hey, look over here. Look over here. And the Bible says that that lame man looked at him expecting. That means he thought, I'm going to get some money today. I'm going to have something where I can buy bread. I can buy something to live on today. It's going to be a good day. And then Peter said the bad news. He said, look, buddy, I'm broke. That's what silver and gold have I none. In today's language, it means I'm busted. I ain't got nothing. Now, can you imagine that layman thinking, well, what in the world? Why would you even tell me to look at you just to tell me I ain't got nothing? And then Peter rehearsed what he was thinking. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I will give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise and walk. And the Bible says he rose and he walked and he hopped and he jumped, leaping and praising God. Now, let me tell you something. It was on their calendar day in and day out to do that routine over and over and over. Every day, go to the temple, pray. Every day, go to the temple and beg. And we have it on our schedule. But I'll tell you something else. God has a schedule also. And sometimes there's things on his schedule that's not on our schedule. You can come to church every Sunday. You can come to church every Wednesday. And it can become a routine or a habit. But saints of God, there's a day when God has on his schedule. Today there will be a healing. Today there will be salvation. Today the lame man will walk. Today the cancers will stop. Today, hallelujah, God will perform his miracle. Hallelujah. And I believe today is such a day as this. There's somebody in here that will be healed today. There's somebody here that will come to salvation today. There's somebody here that will receive the Holy Ghost today. There's somebody here that will be touched today by the power of God. Amen. It may not have been on your schedule, but it's on God's schedule. Praise the Lord. I remember in Belarus when we were having services, we had a lady there named Liana. Not Liana O'Neill, but Liana. And Liana, she was an interpreter, and she came to our church just to hear English because we preached in English and it was interpreted. She didn't care anything about the Lord. She just wanted to improve her English. And we just told her, come on, Liana, just come. Come every Sunday. We didn't know it, but it was on her calendar that this particular Sunday was going to be her very last Sunday. She was done. I guess she figured she learned enough English and all that and was going to be her last time coming. But God had a different schedule. We preached the word of God and we gave an altar call. And in the middle of the altar call, Liana got up to go and leave. And the Spirit of God got a hold of her. She stood there and began to shake and cry. She lifted up her hands and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke in other tongues. We baptized her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It wasn't on her schedule, but it was on God's schedule. Hallelujah. And that same God is here today, saints of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother George Kraft, I know you know him. He's a good friend of ours, great brother, longtime missionary in Eastern Europe. He and I went and preached in different churches in Poland. This time we went to the city of Łódź. Łódź is the second largest city in the country of Poland. And we had a little Bible study there. It was just a small group. And I remember it was just in this little room. It was like a back room of this apartment. And people squeezed in there. And most of them had never been there before. There was a lady named Anya there. And Anya came because she was invited by a friend. She had no idea what was going on or what to expect. We didn't know it. But Anna had cancer. And she had a tumor on her leg, and the doctors could not help her, and she was worried. We had no idea what was going on. But we talked about healing, and we called for people that needed to be healing to come up. Brother Kraft and I anointed her with oil. We laid hands on her in Jesus' name. That cancer died. That cancer came off. Anya is now baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and she's still alive today, many, many years after that cancer was removed from her leg. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was not on her schedule, but it was on God's schedule to touch her that day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. I'll tell you what, saints of God, there's nothing that he cannot do. And if you're here today and you have a need, my God will answer according to his mercy. Let me tell you this. You read the Gospels. You read wherever Jesus went, there were always crowds. The Bible says that in some places there were so many crowds, Jesus had to push through the press. That doesn't mean there was reporters there. It just means there were so many people that Jesus had a hard time getting through. And everywhere he went, there were always crowds. But one thing I've noticed in reading the Bible is that not everybody who saw him, not everybody who touched him, not everybody who heard him received something. It was only those that reached out in faith, only those that cried out and said, "Here I am, Lord, don't pass me by. Here I am." Remember blind Bartimaeus? Remember, he was blind. He couldn't see Jesus coming, but he heard the crowd, and he knew that Jesus was coming, and there were many, many people there. And the Bible says he cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And you know what happened? All those people got angry. They turned around and said, "Will you be quiet?" And you know what? I love it because it encouraged Bartimaeus. You know what the Bible says? He got so encouraged, he got louder. "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And the Bible says Jesus stopped and turned around and he called him forth and God healed him of his blindness. As far as we know, all the other people went home unchanged, untouched, though they were in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We today are in the presence of Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can go home the same way, untouched, unaffected, even though you're in the presence of the Lord. But if you want today, you can call out, you can call on his name and say, "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me." Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I think it was last deputation. We went to Beaumont, Texas, and we were in Beaumont, Texas in this church. And I began to preach about healing, and I gave an altar call, and some people came to the altar. There was a young lady there. She told me afterwards that she wasn't going to come because it was a missionary service. She said, "I was just going to stay home because it was a missionary service, and I didn't want to come." I found out later this young lady had an illness or a sickness that the doctors could not cure. You know, kind of like spent all she had on doctors. And she'd been prayed for before, and the doctors tried to cure her, and it was incurable. And when I spoke about healing that day, faith gripped her heart, and she began to come to the altar. She told me later that when she was on her way to the altar, she could feel that God instantly healed her even before she got to the altar. She went back to the doctor the week after that service, and the doctor confirmed that she was completely healed of her disease. And that girl, even though it wasn't scheduled on her calendar, it was scheduled on God's calendar, and that girl received her healing that day. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. Listen, saints of God, the presence of the Lord is so thick here today. And God's already spoke to us through tongues and interpretation.
saying that he has all power. The Bible says in Matthew 28 that Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth. Now, I'm not a linguist, so I don't know the meaning of a lot of words, but I do know what all means. I'll tell you what all means. All means all. That's all means. Hallelujah. All means all. That's all means. And the God of all power is in this place. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, that should just overwhelm you, that God would even bother to come into this place. But he's here, and he's reaching out to you today, and he will heal your body. He will save your soul, and he will comfort the hurting in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Brother Grant.
Thank you, Brother Nichols. When blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming through Jericho, he probably didn't understand that that would be the very last time that Jesus ever visited Jericho, because Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and would be crucified. But it was on God's calendar to touch him. And if it wasn't that day, it would never have happened. And God, right now, is talking to you about your healing, about casting your cares upon him, about receiving the Holy Ghost, about being baptized in Jesus' name. So this is the day that God wants you to respond.